Okay. Well, as you can see from the title of this morning's message, hope. Hope is here. And when I say here, I'm not saying in this place only. Okay? The Lord has established what it is to have hope and be hopeful. And my opening question is a bit of a bummer. Try to open with a question just to kind of get us engaged in thinking. And as I wrote that in my notes, it's a bit of a bummer. I'm like, no, it's not a bit of a bummer. It's a real bummer. So don't go too far down this road, but I want you to walk this out with me. And it's wrestling with the question of, have you ever actually felt hopeless? You know, hopeless. More than just being sad, more than just maybe kind of feeling like the end of your rope, despairing. You know, for some, you know, it gets to a place where it becomes a heaviness, even a depression. And we know that, from what we know about science of our minds, that as certain chemicals start to keep flowing over and over again, they build these tracks in your mind, whether it was induced by something someone's trying to get high with, or whether it's other things, thinking patterns that get ingrained. And the enemy knows this too. And it's a part of why, and I'll reference this a few times, one of his more powerful and subtle weapons is discouragement. Because if he can keep you in that discouraged state, those patterns that start to flow through your mind get difficult to come out of. And I don't say this so that, you know, we can sit there and go, oh, I'm hopeless, because as I'm going to say many times today, hope is here. His name is Jesus, but hope is here. And for some, that hopelessness does get to a place where they feel like there is no solution. That's hopeless. There's no solution. And they start to make up their mind, there's no way. It's hopeless. I have no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. And we all have dealt with and heard firsthand and otherwise people who make those rash, irreversible decisions, often into self-harm and even taking their own lives. And there are times where people have taken a permanent action for what, no matter what, was still a temporary problem. Because if we're walking with the Lord, it's temporary. It's temporary. And we live right now in a society that is anxiety-riddled. Everybody's got anxiety, right? I don't want to make light of it, but to a degree, it becomes just what you talk about. What are you anxious about today? Well, I'm anxious about this. How about you? What are you anxious about? But for some, it does get to that place where they start to become frozen and begin to stop living because of the fears that are there. And many folks do actually get to a place where they need some sort of support, whether it be a group that they're a part of. We need to get together, right? We need to build each other's hope up. And there's times where people need even prescribed help through this. And the reality that we're dealing with in these days, around the world, in general, believe it or not, in a good way, rates of people taking their own lives has gone down, okay, over the last several decades, but not in the U.S. Not in the U.S. In the U.S., it's actually up over 30%. Between 1999 and 2017. And that pattern of, there's other countries in the world that have a higher rate of people taking their own life than the U.S., but their rates are still coming down. Our rates are going up. And when you read, I was on the American Psychology site this week and some other places, when you read, you know, what they're looking into and the reasons, they're so multifaceted. And so there's not specific things that you can pin them on. But I just kept hearing over and over and seeing over and over how the enemy tries to discourage and to keep people depressed or in this place where you just think, and that's all your mind gets consumed with is whatever negative thing or whatever challenges you're dealing with. And people get to various places of despair. And a part of why this was especially brought into my mind this week is because of a couple of situations that happened at work, and I want to share them just briefly with you. The one was a phone call, came from a general manager, that's the leader of one of the stores, and he called me asking for some help because someone on his management team had gotten some very disturbing text messages from one of the associates in the store. and she was, you know, despairing and saying things that were scary, and the associate didn't know what to do. Like, what responsibility do I have when somebody tells me they might hurt themselves? You know, what do I do? So we talked through, you know, some of that, and gave him some resources, gave her some resources, found out, you know, kind of where she was at, was she already getting professional help or not, and some of those things. But when you know, you're running a business, so for those of you who don't know, it's a Wawa, so here's the manager of a Wawa, and all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to take care of all of the coffee, the sizzly, the this, the that, the lottery machine's broken, somebody needs change, and then someone walks over to you and says, yeah, I just got this text from so-and-so who works for us. You know, what do? So we walk through that. We walk through that. But then the other call I got was from my boss, and she was asking me, she's relaying a message from one of the top cheeses, the head of operations in Wawa's, a woman named Kathy, wonderful, incredibly brilliant lady. And she was asking if I would call somebody whose daughter had just taken her life. And 16 years old, jumped in front of a train. Stepped a train up in Swarthmore. It was on Monday, if you look it up. He's been with us for 12 years. He's got two older boys and his only girl, all right, him and his wife. And of course, I got on the phone with him eventually, and we talked several times this week. And what do you say? What do you say? He feels hopeless. And he's in the anguish of, my daughter felt hopeless. I wasn't there to be able to give her the hope or do something. And it just got me thinking. It got me thinking. And the Lord's been stirring in me a couple of one-off messages. So before we maybe get into another study, I'm going to bring a few more of these. And as I said before, we have all been touched by this reality, this horrific reality, one way or another, directly or indirectly. Lost a first cousin a couple of years ago in our own congregation. We lost Gary. And the sadness of that and the sadness of these things can almost be paralyzing in themselves. And that's where I'm like, you know what, Satan, you're not going to discourage us into hopelessness. Because the Lord knows. The Lord knows what's going on. He knows the places that people get. He knows our thoughts even. And it's why we surrender them. It's why we take them captive. It's why if you immerse yourself in God's word every day, you wash your brain with how to properly think. And you can rewire things that have gotten to be bad grooves in your mind. Okay? Because the Spirit renews. And the Spirit brings hope. And you know, Paul knew, right, as Paul was, establishing the new churches, he made this reference to the Ephesians, and you could pull up that first verse for me. And I've kind of cut and pasted a little bit here because he, as in a Paul way, has a few tangents, but it says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles, remember that you at that time separated from Christ, alienated, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Right? To have no hope is a place where those who are without Christ are. Now, they may have hope in something, but if their hope's not in Christ, it's temporary. It's fleeting. It may be in their ability. It may be in their ability to earn. Right, they're earning a lot, right? The world starts to puff you up and says, hey, good job. Look what you can buy. That's fleeting. It may be in their mind, right? You get into the world of academia, and these people who study on top of study and get degree on top of degree, and that becomes somehow where they put their worth, realizing that that muscle, for one, is going to become dust. And at least it's an empty shell after a bit. But the things that they hold up as, I am the smartest in this, okay? 5 years after they stop learning, what they knew back then is as good as the dust their brain's going to turn into. So these different things that we put our hope into that are so fleeting. But Paul didn't leave us there, because the next couple of verses, he actually goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. And we know this is the gospel, that Jesus, that God has come near to us and has taken us from a place where we are hopeless to a place that we are not only hopeful but overflowing. And that's where I want us to get today. The one place I do want to ask you to turn, verses that I don't have up on the screen, will be to Psalm 34. So I'll give you a moment or two to turn to that psalm, or click to it, or swipe to it, whatever you need to do to have the psalm in front of you. And I am going to read it. And I could have picked different places, but this psalm in particular, because David, as well as others, and this is one of the verifiable, beautiful things about the scriptures. These are human beings living life, but inspired by God. So we get to hear God's word and hear God's truth, but nothing's hidden. The people in the Bible, they lived real lives and had real experiences. And David, more than any other person, voiced that and struggled, and even sometimes was realizing, I brought this on myself. This was my choice. And yet now he still turns to the Lord and calls out. So let me read you this psalm. And this is a great psalm to memorize if you haven't already. And you're going to hear and recognize a few verses in here that on their own can give you great hope and stand, even, like I said, individually. But Psalm 34 says, this is David, right? He's got the situation going on with Abimelech. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer and want hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. Amen. You need to know that there is and always is hope. We referenced it not too long ago, the mercy of the Lord that's new every morning. It's continual. So not only is there this hope, it's a blessed hope, and it is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is hope. And there's reason to keep going. And the hope that is in Christ, it brings life to you. It brings life to others. And it's why I find myself just coming right back to the same conclusion. When I'm hearing the things I heard this week and watching the challenges that are going on in the world, I'm like, okay, what can I do? What should I do? You know, what's going on? What should I do? And I just keep hearing the Lord's last words were, make disciples. Show people what it is to follow me. Build your life upon his words and allow others to see your good deeds and glorify him. And when I say your good deeds, I'm not like, oh, look at how nice they feed this, they do that. Okay. There's something that starts to become a part of your life over time, okay, as the Lord literally starts to overflow you, okay, that becomes, it is light. The Lord said, you are salt and light in this world. So as we start to continually live in that hope, it becomes a source for other people to feed from. Right, there's a place in Proverbs that says, hope deferred makes your heart sick. And that's what happens. People who are hopeless, they have this sick feeling because they don't know if it's going to get better. And the rest of that verse goes on to say, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. You can be that type of life for other people. As you just kind of let a little, you don't have to have some super secret word from God. Walk with God. Okay, the words will be there. Okay? People will be able to look in you and say, there's some sort of life in this person that's not in other people. Okay? And if you need more of it, stick your nose in here more. Be like Moses, right? We saw it. Moses went with God. He was with God so long he came out that they were blinded. Okay? Allow that glory of God to work in you. And it doesn't happen overnight, but one little bit every day. Every day, washing yourself with his word and allowing yourself to be literally overflowing with hope. Because I can't help but think for this young woman, you know, had she heard the gospel? She grows up in a Christian nation. Maybe yes, maybe. Had it ever sunk in? Had the Holy Spirit, as he's doing his work, been able to penetrate into her and say that there's hope? Did her mom and dad know that there is a life that they can build of hope and create an environment? You know, would the outcome have been different? I don't know. You know, I look at the fact that, as I referenced before, God has perfectly every resource at his disposal, yet because he's given man choice, okay, his will is that none should perish. But does that mean that none will perish? Sadly, no. Does that mean that God can't get his will? No. God's will is being done, right? But he was willing that none should perish. But he allows folks to make their choices because love needs and requires that choice to be made. And I know that not everyone is in that place where things are overflowing, right? There's several things. I just referenced the delay, the time of pain, which in many ways we're in the middle of. From the day after Adam and Eve sinned until Jesus comes again, there is a degree of pain that continues. And in many ways, it can be likened to labor. Sorry, Raina. Okay. Okay. You're pregnant. You know life is coming at the other end. And in between, there is going to be labor. And the scriptures tell us the whole world right now is in labor, screaming out in pangs of birth, waiting for the new earth to come, the new Jerusalem, the new world. But in the middle, it can be painful. Because reality is, this world is fallen. Paul actually said in Ephesians 5 that we need to be wise because these days are evil. Right? They're temporary, but right now they're evil. And that's why you get to shine so much as light. Because in darkness, where there's light, it can be seen. Let me give you some other words from Paul in 2 Timothy. I believe that's my next verse up there. It says, but understand this. You can't read that. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, even having an appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Hey, the Lord doesn't pull any punches. Paul doesn't pull punches here. We know what happens when man is left to his own devices. Right? The Lord already one time had to say, that's it, I'm flooding the place. We're going to start over. Right? Right before that, the Lord's spirit will not contend with man's spirit forever. He's like, all right, send in a flood. And then when he allowed Noah and his family to be saved, he's like, okay, I'm never going to do that again. But fire's coming. And one time I'm going to make it all new by fire. But in this interim, in this window of time, okay, we can make disciples. And I want to simplify this as much as possible. Okay? I'm not saying, you know, you from soup to nuts are going to take every single person that ever walks into your life and make sure they understand fully the whole gospel message, and you're going to, you know, convince them or make them believe or convert them or sanctify. God's Spirit does all those things. He's continually at work. What we get to do is in any moment of any day with any interaction that we have, just maybe have in the back of your mind, God loves this person. They're made in His image. They could show a part of His glory that no one else can show, and I know that God wants them to be united with Him. Right? And allow your conversation to be what it is. Now, that will probably mean in some ways you're going to sound a little bit different. Right? I know in different environments the language can get pretty colorful. Right? It becomes such a point where people don't even hear it. Hey, maybe because you're there and because you're mindful of trying to honor God, that's something that the Lord gives you a little bit of sensitivity to. And you're like, you know what? I could probably find a different adjective to use than the one that they're using. And sometimes it's just a spin of the word or whatever it is. But people start to say, okay, wait, there's something. Right? Doesn't mean I'm going to make you feel bad because I don't. Like we have some non-Christian friends that we're around, and every once in a while they'd be like, oh, Tom and Laura are here. You know, hey, watch your mouth. What, you think God doesn't hear it? Don't worry about Tom and Laura. You didn't know them before. Right? But let me give you some simple things. If you bring up the next verse for me. This is Peter, right? Peter, the one who's always quick to jump. He encourages with these words. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense or an answer, or an explanation, a logical explanation, right? Depending on your version. To anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And it's not so much the na-na-na-na-na, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, right? But to say, you know what, there is a hope within me. And I want to be able to, if somebody says, what makes you tick, or what's important to you, or, you know, why do you think that? To say, you know what? To be honest, why should I be anything else? But to be honest, you know, God's made a difference in my life. He's changed me. He's showed me how real He is. I don't know what that means to you. I don't know if you grew up in a church. It doesn't have to be anything more than what God has done in your life, because that's your testimony. And you don't have to go from soup to nuts on that either and explain the whole thing. Well, when I was born, you know, and then when I was 19, and then when I, but in whatever simple way it comes out at that moment, realize that the Holy Spirit is drawing that person. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe they have a church background and say, you know what? I knew I got to get right with God again. Now I know why you're in my life. You know, I thought you were just passing through, or I thought you were whatever. I thought I just came to fix your refrigerator, or whatever it is. Right? But we get to interact with people all the time. And just a reasonable, gentle explanation for your hope, something nobody can take away from you. And realize, deliver it in your personality. You don't have to sound like your favorite preacher, because you're not them. All right? Your personality. God wired you to think, to respond a certain way. Yeah, we refine that in terms of allowing God's Spirit to keep working on us, right? So I'm not saying that it has to be just whatever comes out of your mouth. But at the same time, what your testimony is, nobody can argue with that. Right? We're not going to start having a debate about evolution versus creation. Right? You're going to say, this is what God did in my life. This is what God did in my family's life. He made a way when there was no way. Right? He made a way when there was no way. He did this. I was at this place, and here's where I am now. Is it all figured out? No. Is it all perfect? No. But I know who I'm walking with, and I have tasted and seen that he's good. And I choose to put my trust in him today and every day. Today and every day, I trust him because he's God, and he loves me. What a deal. He's infinite, and he loves me. What else do I need? Nothing. Mic drop, right? We leave. So, part of why I put cards on the seats today, okay, isn't because I'm saying, give this to somebody and make sure they're at church next week, but they're there. Okay? Take a couple. Have them on you. Right? You don't know how a conversation can go. And you say, even if it's just a on the way out the door, hey, don't know if you're ever looking for a church. We got a pretty diverse, cool group of people that get together on Sundays. But on the other side of that card, we have what has been called the Romans Road. And it is a way to lead somebody to salvation, just through the scriptures. So depending on where they're at or depending on how the conversation goes, or you could even say, hey, have you ever heard these scriptures before? Or to someone in your family who knows you well, hey, I wanted to read these verses. Tell me if this makes sense to you. No, you're not trying to trick them, okay? But God's word is God's word, and it can get you comfortable, right? I love the fact that we as contemporary, modern, evangelical Christians kind of get to this place where we think, if I can get people to recite the prayer, then they're saved. And I'm obviously playing that a little bit. But we somehow feel better if we heard them say the prayer. Hey, if you look in the scriptures, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, right? Our sister shared that scripture today. That's what's going on. What's going on in the heart? Only God sees that. That's why when the tax collector said, have mercy on me, a sinner, that was it. It's all he needed. Hey, in his heart, he is turned towards God. Hey, that's where we want to see people get to. And the way we'll know is the evidence that starts to happen, the fruit that starts to happen, the hunger that starts to happen. And it doesn't happen for everybody in the same way. Some people, that seed goes in and it germinates for a while, like decades, right? And you keep watering it and saying, I hope this thing sprouts one day. I hope that wasn't a dead seed. If it was God's word, it's not dead. Okay? Now, if they want to try to choke it out, if they want to allow the enemy to come in and pluck it away, those are all possibilities, okay? But it's a seed that will give birth. So allow your words to have that type of potential, life for people. Because you're really in one of two places. And let me close things and bring things together for you here. You're really in one of two places. You're either full of hope, or at least have hope, or you're at that place where you're feeling like you don't have hope. And if you're hopeful, I want to help you get to a place where you overfill so that, like Jesus said, it's a living water coming out of you that other people can come and drink from and come to the Lord, right? And be made one with him. Pull up this next verse for me. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For anyone who's in Christ, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, Paul explains, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us this ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Whew. You think I get excited when we're singing that in song today? I'm like, this is today's message. Right, Sister Loretta's quoting this verse for me. I'm like, it's in the notes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you, which of these two places are you in? Are you full of hope? Or are you at least hopeful? Okay. If you have the hope of Christ in you, put your hand up. I have the hope of Christ. Father, you see these hands. Fill to overflowing. Lord, that this hope would abound. That we can, Lord, be ministers of reconciling others to you. Because you don't want to count men's sins against them. So you have made a way. And you have given us this ministry. And told us to go. And to share and to make disciples. So Lord, for each hand that's up, I pray that even this week there be an opportunity for them to share hope. Because your hope does not fail, it does not fade, and though we may walk through the trials and tribulations and labors of this life, as you said, we take heart because you have overcome the world. You put your hands down if they're still up. And then if there's anyone here that's saying, I need hope, while your eyes are still closed, if you'll put your hand up, I'm going to pray for you. Amen. I need to know the hope that Christ came to give me. So, Father, you see who's raised their hand. And Lord, I'm asking that even today, Lord, they would be filled with your Spirit and the hope and the power that you have longed to give us. Father, God, may no one leave this place without feeling and knowing your love and overflowing with your hope, because our future is in your hands. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, your God, we are not. We are dust. My body is going to return to dust. My spirit is going to go to you. And I will be before you. We will all be before you. So, Lord, for each person here, I say thank you. And I'm going to ask you all to stand as I pray a blessing over you and dismiss you. So, Father, thank you, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. Of your government, there is no end. And, Lord, we have begun to taste and see that you are good. You have always been good. And Lord, we push back the lies of the enemy that say anything but. Because Lord, we choose this day. We choose this day, Lord, to believe your word. And Lord, we will not stay discouraged or down. We may have those emotions for a bit, for a season, but Lord, we bring them to you. Asking that you would put into us and give us your perspective on what's going on. Lord, the ability to persevere, the ability to overcome, and to know you move that mountain, you'll move it again over and over, Lord, until that day that we're with you in glory. And then we get to return while you put evil in its place forever, never, never to be revealed again. So, Father, in the words that you gave Moses, I pray this blessing, that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and hope. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you especially raised your hand that you needed prayer for hope, come forward and allow one of us to pray with you. If you have a prayer need of any other type, we'd love to pray with you as well. So come forward for that. For the rest of